Auf die guten Vorsätze. Du gibst die Couch auf für eine Joggingrunde. Du lässt die Schlummertasse schlummern für ein Workout am Morgen. Und nach 2 Wochen gibst du auf. Ich weiß, es ist gar nicht so leicht, an deinen Fitnesszielen festzuhalten. Doch mit der Apple Watch bist du nicht allein. Sie motiviert dich, dran zu bleiben und liefert fortschrittliche Messwerte für alle deine Workouts. In Echtzeit. So kannst du deine Fitnessvorsätze fürs neue Jahr einhalten und ein für alle Mal das Aufgeben aufgeben mit deiner Apple Watch. Erfordert ein iPhone 11 oder neuer.
The Bill Simmons Podcast, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Don't forget about their fun promotion for NFL kickoff and each of the week one primetime games, which we have 1, 2, 3, 4 primetime games. Anytime TD bets, you can earn a share of $2 million in bonus bets. Predict the first TD score. You can predict the last TD score. You can do it for Philly, Dallas, or whatever game you want. So don't forget about that. You can win a share of bonus bets. Don't forget about the new rewatchables I put up, which was American Gangster, our 400th movie. Me, Van Lathan, Chris Ryan, broke all of it down. Denzel Washington, Russell Crowe. Don't forget about all of our great football coverage from Ringer Fantasy Football, Ringer NFL, the Ringer Gambling Show, which is every day now live at noon ET. You can watch it live on YouTube with the guys, or you can watch it as a video podcast on Spotify or wherever you get your platforms. But we have a whole bunch of stuff coming because we have the Ringer 107 that we're launching this week. Nice little contest for all of us. I'll explain more when House is on the last BS pod of the week. So this is going to be the third one of the week. We had Cousin Sal. We did a whole thing on Sunday. Charles Barkley was fantastic. And now we had to have this guy because the season's about to start. Our guy, Peter Schrager, now at ESPN. We've not had him on during the preseason. He was getting a little antsy. So we had to we just had to carve out an hour and do it. It's coming up right after the break. We'll do Pearl Jam and then our old friend, Peter Schrager. It's the Bill Simmons Podcast presented by FanDuel, and the NFL is back. And thank God, FanDuel has everything. They got an awesome app. They have SGPs. They have great futures. They have good prop bets, live betting, your way bets, clean app. It's great to use. Been using it for a few years. Every time I go back to Boston or any place that has FanDuel and I get to use it, I'm always excited. I'm on an airplane runway. You done the airplane runway?
Yeah. Everybody.
Yeah. Airplane runway.
There should be a button, the runway
I'm
button.
On the airplane runway. I got to get this in. Get your bets in, build something bold, make every game feel bigger. Download the FanDuel app or head to FanDuel.com/BS to get started. The Ringer, committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of this episode for additional details. You must be 21 plus and present in select states or 18 plus and present in D.C., Kentucky, or Wyoming. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. Call 1-888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. Paid endorsement. We're taping this late Tuesday afternoon. This guy has a busy schedule. He's doing a lot of stuff at ESPN, but he is still on this podcast, the king of the Let's Go, Peter Schrager.
Let's go. Come on. Let's go. I'm so happy to be back with you. I texted you. I very rarely would admit this, but I was fishing. I said, you know what? I've done the Pablo Torre origin story. We've had Diana Rossini. We've had Kyle Brandon a dozen times. Can I get back in here? And you were like, yeah, let's do it. And
I didn't know if you had to check for permission from Mullet number 2 on the McAfee show or not.
Those are my guys also.
I know.
I am everybody's guy.
You're everybody's guy. I don't even know where I fit in anymore. You've guys everywhere. Guys, all these different shows, you're busy as hell. They're using you all these different ways, which I'm not surprised by. You're doing great. So much to cover with the NFL season. So I don't think anything will happen before people hear this. I hope nothing happens over the next 24 hours.
I don't think so.
I had a bunch of things. I only gave you heads up on one thing that I wanted to talk about. Otherwise, I'm just going to throw some shit at you. But this is the one thing I wanted to talk about because we've talked a lot about the Chiefs. Over the last few years.
Okay.
Mahomes has the stature of best QB in the league, the guy, and I'm with you. Like if it's one game for my life, I'm picking him first. But he wasn't as good last year as I think people seem to think he was. And he finished fifth in the MVP voting, even though he played the whole year. Stats were down. The deep throw stuff was really bad. And you could say the supporting cast got a little worse, or you could say maybe he just didn't have a great year. Now they got killed in the Super Bowl. What kind of Mahomes year are you expecting? Are we moving into like an Albert Pujols in his 30s, just not quite the same as good as he was in his 20s situation? Or is this a, I am taking back all prisoners. I am laying the smackdown. I am Kaiser Soze in this entire league. What's your vibe?
It's funny because I think this season could go one of two ways. It could go the former, where it's, all right, this is Albert Pujols. This is one of those other players that we have seen who just hits the cliff and it's still very good, just isn't in that thing. Or it's scorched earth. I would say this. Everyone I speak with in Kansas City, and I know your listeners love when I give this because it always means it's going to be positive. This guy is locked the fuck in. And it has been rampage season all summer of like, we're taking this thing back. And whether that's just big talk or not, I look at last year, he was playing catch with Sky Moore. Xavier Worthy was in his first season. Justin Watson was like his number two option. Mecole Hardman and DeAndre Hopkins, who, let's be honest, still has a great red zone target, but was not a true number one weapon. And they still went to the Super Bowl. And this year he gets Xavier Worthy. He gets Rashee Rice for at least some of the season, rejuvenated Kelsey, and a healthy Hollywood Brown. Like I think the options and the weapons are significantly better. And
but
they still
Kelsey,
lost.
Kelsey going
yes,
this
trending
way.
That
I'm
way.
Pushing
trending
my head
that
down.
Way.
Yeah.
Trending
so
that way.
That would be the one thing I would be like, all right, when Mahomes was at his apex.
Yeah, 50
he
touchdowns.
He also had one of the best
season,
receiving tight ends in the no history doubt. Of mankind. And now that guy is moving into a different phase of his career.
No doubt. And Tyreek Hill and him we're going to look back and say, you know what? Like, we only got a few years of that. We should have gotten more years of that because the two of them were electric. Kelsey is an interesting one because his numbers were there last year at the end and they still sustained and they had big catches and they needed, again, they lost one regular season game last season until that final, you know, week 18. Whatever with Denver.
I know, but you were there for all those games.
I mean,
each game had one player where it's like, wow, if that happened, they lose that. That
wasn't flashy, but he found a way to win.
It was never dominant or anything awesome.
He's not,
but
look, last year he was not going to win you a fantasy league. He's not going to be the analytics darling. But like you said, 2 minutes left, he still found a way every single time and made the clutch play until the Super Bowl when the wheels fell off. And then that left me and everyone else thinking, all right, is the chapter closed? Like Kelsey, this hasn't been reported. Like Kelsey was in New York. He was not himself in that Super Bowl. He also was under the weather. He also was truly like a shell of himself in that game. So he isn't the one coming out saying, hey, I was sick. But I know from chief sources that he was not himself because he wasn't 100%.
Well, let's be honest, like the healthiest Kelsey ever, they still get killed in that game. They
yes.
couldn't block the Eagles.
Yes.
That's it. Point
yes.
blank.
Yes, and they add Simmons, who I think is going to be good eventually. Obviously, he's a rookie as an offensive tackle, and they feel good. Like I don't know if he's ever going to put up 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns ever again. I don't know if it's possible for him to do it with just whatever it is. I do think Josh Allen could still do that. I do think Baker could still do that in what they have in their offenses right now. The Chiefs are going to be great. Mahomes, is he coming out here? Look, if I had to put my hand up and say, is he going to win MVP because of his stats and all that? I don't know if he's my pick to win MVP. I do know that the Tuesday after the Super Bowl, he was like Michael Jordan in the gym in Last Dance, working out with the guys and encouraging them to get in the gym. And he didn't just cut his hair. He's been working out ferociously and what felt like a big off season because, you know, he was out and about and they opened a steakhouse and whatever else. They have been working and they are dialed in and Andy has gotten them back in the lab. So fine.
Well, but when you talk to a million people.
Yeah.
And it feels like as we headed to this year, there's four QBs that are ascending above everybody else. And then Jaden Daniels as like
hovering.
Can you wait here in the, can you just wait? The bouncer will let you in if we've decided to let you in. The way he gets in is if he goes 12-5 again, with a much harder schedule and a team that, you know, probably went sideways from a talent standpoint. A year ago, we would have said, all right, Mahomes here.
Yep.
And then this next group. When you talk to other people in the league, do they think somebody else is the best QB? Do they think it's him? Do they think it's a group? Like, what is the, what are the different reactions?
It's the group of four. And I think maybe we're just putting them all in the same conversation and we're not valuing enough the stuff that doesn't come up in the stat sheet. So I have Mahomes as one because of the clutch moments, because that's what we have been trained to treasure and to value in our quarterbacks. We treasure and value who wins on the road, who wins in the AFC championship games, who wins when you're down, who's the guy you want the ball in. But statistically, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Joe Burrow are better than Patrick Mahomes. So it's this classic individual versus the stats versus the non-stats. So like, give me an NBA comparison. Adrian Dantley fills the stat sheet. You never put him in the same conversation as Magic Johnson. And right. yet,
but this was Brady versus Manning 20 years ago. Brady had the three Super Bowls. Manning had better stats.
And Manning had the MVPs.
And I was arguing over for Brady over again. I guess my issue is, or not my issue, because I think this is a fun argument.
It's a great argument.
I just think if I'm taking a quarterback for 22 weeks and I could have any QB in the league, I think I'm picking Josh.
I think I am too.
And if I'm taking one guy if I'm taking a guy for, this is now the most pressure we've ever had. It's a fourth quarter. It's a tie game. Who do I want for 30 minutes?
Taking Mahomes.
I think I would take Mahomes. But I just think, to me, Allen is like LeBron in the late 2000s now. It's like, I don't even care who's on his team. I don't know who was, you can't even name the weapons he had last year other than James Cook was really good down the stretch. But I just think he's a guaranteed now 12 to 13 wins and he's going to be heard from in the playoffs. And I don't know if you can say that about Mahomes based on how that playoffs ended. I thought they could have lost to Houston. Thought they probably should have lost to Buffalo. They got killed by Philly. So it's a good one. It's the kind of thing, if you want to be the GOAT or you want to be the best guy in your generation, you kind of need to get kicked in the teeth a little bit to bounce back and be like, all right, I'll show everybody. Brady certainly needed it.
Brady needed it. And Brady had an 07 season where he was like, all right, if Peyton's the individual that you guys all think, and Peyton's the guy and he just won the Super Bowl, here, I'm going to go scorched earth and break all these offensive records. Does Mahomes have that in him right now? He's already done that. Can he do it again at 30? I don't know, honestly. And I don't know if in the NFL and like history, like last year, Baker threw for 5,000 yards. Are we talking about Baker? I don't know if stats matter as much in football as they do in baseball or they do in the
wins
NBA.
Matter. Mahomes was getting the wins.
And that's right. And that's it. It's the ultimate team sport in a different way. So we look at Lamar, like Lamar statistically last year had as good a season as anyone's ever had in football. I will never remember Lamar Jackson's 2024 as a special season because it came up short. And because he was the third quarterback in the AFC, not even maybe the fourth, maybe behind Burrow, because Burrow's stats were as good, if not better. Mahomes, I'll remember. Mahomes took that team and they won, again, Carolina game. Like they're winning by three, to your point. They're playing the Raiders. They're barely getting by on a Black Friday game. And it's like, what is going on with this team? And yet they find a way.
Never felt that good. Yeah, it's a weird one because, like, you know, LeBron, who was the best player in the NBA for a long time, didn't win the MVP after 2013. And there were real reasons for that because it was either he didn't play full season, he had injuries, or he was mad at the team and didn't really try for 3 weeks. There was always like something. He didn't play enough games. The NFL, like Mahomes played the whole season last year and he was, and we watched the whole season and we're like, you're fifth. So that's why I wonder like how much of it, do you think he reads this stuff? Does he care?
Yes.
So you think he does? He's one of those, I know what people are saying, guys.
This is LeBradford Smith shit. Like, yes. He sees it all and knows it all. And a couple of years ago, the NFL Network put him fourth on the top 100 list. And he scores a touchdown against Lamar. And he's seen doing 1, 2, 3, 4 and does a shrug. Like, that stuff is so funny. He sees it, he reads it, and he's motivated by it all. I honestly think he's got this, like, otherworldly competitiveness and killer instinct to him that maybe wasn't valued enough in the pre-draft process because he played for a losing Texas Tech team.
Yeah.
But like Kingsbury will tell me that like this has always been Pat. We just didn't surround him with enough. And we would have won maybe two games if he wasn't the quarterback. And they ended up winning what 8 or 7 every season at Texas Tech. He's got this killer instinct and he and Andy Reid, that's the thing. Like you start realizing it's not just one-on-one, and it makes for great talk radio and podcast stuff, but at the end of the day, it's coach and offense as well. So are you taking Sean McDermott and Josh Allen, Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow, John Harbaugh, who has shown that in these big games, there are some head scratching decisions, and Lamar, or Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes? It's a package deal. And the two of them together are still going to reign supreme over those other three combos.
Yeah. You think like he had that whole Tyreek section. Tyreek was one of the best field tilters we've had at receiver this century.
Yep.
And then you have Kelsey, who's been the best receiving tight end in the last 10 years. So he had those guys in his formative years. And now this feels like he's still in that 2006 Brady area where you're just kind of carrying the supporting cast that's not quite good enough. I think the 07
LeBron, when it's like Anderson Varejao and, right, you know, Ilgauskas and whoever else that he had out there.
I just think Allen, I thought he was so good last year.
He was amazing.
And the last piece of this, I picked Buffalo over Green Bay to win the Super Bowl. And I really, it's a pick on, like, I think that guy's a special player. And at some point, a guy that good is going to have to win a title. It's just the way the NBA works. I think it's the way the NFL works for the most part. If
your team's knocked on the door, right? Like, and that's what we always need. You need to knock on the door, and he's done it so many times. There are a couple other things, like last year, we're going to get that stadium, right? Like, it just, it feels like this is like, all right, Buffalo's been ascending. He feels like the guy, and it just feels like the torch is ready for him to just grab it. When you picked Buffalo, and I heard you do it, when you went to sleep at night, did you wake up and have any second thoughts on it? Because that matters to me. If you're like, oh, did I really just pick against Mahomes? You felt comfortable with going.
Well, here's the big thing for the Mahomes thing this year is the schedule combined with that third division. I think the Chargers, I have the Chargers as the worst team in the division. Other people would have Vegas, but it's just not a walkover like it used to be. And then you have all these night games, all these other stuff. And I took note of, and I think they're the most interesting team to talk about out of all the teams. I took note of some of the stuff they talked about during the Super Bowl last year about the grind of it and just 22 weeks a year of this bullseye and how what didn't feel as special to be in the Super Bowl this year. And like weird shit that you say when you've just been,
Exhausted. They were exhausted. And I'll add this, like, Pacheco played in the playoffs. Like, Isaiah Pacheco was a huge, huge part of that offense. He goes down in week two and they have to pick up Kareem Hunt off the scrap heap. And they won 17 games with Kareem Hunt and Samaje Perine as the running backs. Pacheco's back. Pacheco's healthy. And I know you've already done your fantasy draft and you've had your fantasy podcast. Like, please, everybody, take Pacheco. Trust me on this. Pacheco is ready to go, and that is a huge piece to their offense also. So they get back, guys. Hollywood Brown is healthy. Rice and Worthy. I just feel like for the Chiefs, it's, yes, they hit the wall, and it eventually caught up with them, and they were sneaking by. But this was like a hard reset, and they feel a lot better about their team coming into the season now than they did at the end of the season last year.
I had Denver winning the AFC West over them, but them be having the same record. And Denver is now like the sexiest.
Isn't it? So
scary? And I hate it.
I hate it too.
But is it realistic to you that Denver could have a slight upper hand over KC in the West?
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I talked to Sean today and first name Payson. it's like when Collinsworth just calls him Patrick, you know, that's me talking about Sean. But Payton and I spoke today and I said, all right, 2 days, 3 days away, like, what are you thinking? And he's like, here's the deal. This is what he told his team. He's like, every team has a book on them. And some books are small, some books are medium, some books are like big. The Denver Broncos franchise is one of those teams that has like a big book. There's a lot of chapters. You have the Orange Crush, you've got Elway, then you've got Peyton Manning. Like, you've got this big book. And he's like, we have the chance to add a really cool chapter to this franchise's history. Mm. You guys, it's all here. Like, there are only a few crown jewel franchises. The Denver Broncos are one of them, and it's all there. They had the number one rated defense last year. The quarterback, if you listen to Peyton, like, he talks about him as if this guy can do no wrong. And they added a whole new running back room that they're very excited about. That said, there are expectations now. Last year, they snuck up on everybody. You and I had them in the playoffs. We did before the season.
It was the easy schedule, you know, newish 100%. Coach bunch that we liked. But it was also keeping our fingers crossed that Bo Nix was competent, which he was.
He was.
No idea. We had no idea to know, but we felt relatively confident.
And you take Peyton's word for it. Now, Peyton's 61 years old. He's been doing this for a long time. And he's like, this is one of the best teams I've ever had. Like, I love this group. So the negative.
I told you about when I did my talent rankings, I was shocked just how much talent they have.
It's everywhere.
I don't think people realize.
And like, they had the number one defense last year and they added pieces. And here's the thing that scares you. What scares you is that every NFL media outlet came through to Denver. And whether it be the aforementioned Russini or it be ESPN or it be Kay Adams and FanDuel, whoever, they all leave and they say, that's the team. That scares me because.
But this was Detroit last year.
It was.
Right. And Detroit went 15-2 and then the wheels came off, but they had some bad luck.
They had injuries and also they handled the expectations. Can Denver handle the expectations? Because now you're not the hunters, you're the hunted, especially. I mean, I was talking with McCourty last week, Jason McCourty, who I love. And he's like, I've got Denver winning the AFC West. I'm like, all right. I walk away. I talk to four other people. They're like, I got Denver winning the AFC West. Like, I feel like more people have Denver winning the AFC West than they do the Chiefs right now.
Yeah.
That to me is crazy.
Still 3-1 on FanDuel. But yeah, I think it's 50-50 with the schedule the Chiefs have combined with just a talent thing where you look at both sides. Coaching staffs, both really good. But I think the reason I wanted to lead with this, talking to you, because we haven't really talked in a couple months on the pod, is I think KC versus Denver is the most interesting of all the big picture storylines. Mm. You can give me anything else, but I, you know, the way last year where we were like the NFC North, and maybe we thought it was going to be Chicago instead of Minnesota. We were like, the NFC North, it feels like that's going to be driving a lot of story for us this year. I think it's going to be the AFC West. Whether Denver can be a real team and then combined with the Baltimore, Buffalo, KC, Denver, like those four, those might be four of the best five teams in the league.
Do you put,
along with Philly?
Do you put Cincinnati anywhere near there?
Nowhere near. Not even like,
cause
they're not even in, what's the case for that with their defense?
Yeah.
And their offensive line?
I think big picture, they got everything done this offseason that you could have asked for and bringing back those two receivers, healthy Burrow, and they could light it up. They're going to be a pain in the ass to play. You're going to have to score 35 points to beat them every week. And I don't know if a lot of teams
can do
that.
You're going to be able to with their defense.
You're going to have to, though. that's it.
Let's take a break. And I have the other big storyline that you're uniquely qualified to discuss. This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like expecting the leadership of a team captain on the football field, but getting a C captain? Sure, they're both captains, but who's going to run your offense? You wouldn't settle for just anything for your team, so don't settle for just any insurance. When it comes to getting the help you need, State Farm is the real deal. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. This episode is brought to you by Uber Eats. Parents, if there's one thing you deserve to make it easier on yourself, it's back to school season. I know that's how I feel as well. On Uber Eats, you can get up to 40% off back-to-school essentials like notebooks, pencils, calculators. You got lunch boxes to fill? Get discounts on fresh fruit, juice boxes, string cheese, and more. Get everything you need for back-to-school delivered right to you just a tap away in the Uber Eats app. Offer ends September 16th. See app for details. All right. You don't know anything else we're talking about. Because you don't need to, because you've been doing this nonstop. So it took me a while to come around on this. And I talked about it last week when we did the Bears, Sal and I was saying I was over. I think they're a playoff team. It just seems like the Ben Johnson, all of it, the hype, which I was resistant of, you know, I always want a zag if there's a zag. I've just been really impressed with everything I've read and heard this whole training camp. Give me your best Ben Johnson will be immediately awesome case. Like that he will immediately ascend to the McShay, LaFleur, Shanahan, Andy, like that he will get there right away this season.
He chose to come here. and he leaned in so hard and didn't have to. He could have taken the Washington job last year. He decided to punt on that at the last second. The story is actually crazy. He was on a plane, a private jet last year. The Washington brass, Josh Harris and the executives were all on a plane, the private jet, to go court him and finalize a deal with the, and then while they're in the flight, they find out over Twitter that he's backing out, and they land and he's like, guys, I'm sorry, I'm staying in Detroit. So could have had that job, could have had Carolina. I think 2 years ago, David Tepper loved him and he was a North Carolina guy.
Good whiff on that one.
Yeah. Look, he's calling his place. Like, I'm waiting. Any team, he could have had any job this year. I know everyone will say, no, he could have had any job. He made it very clear he wanted one job. He wanted the Chicago job. And in his opening press conference, he's like, I can't wait to beat Matt LaFleur. And I texted LaFleur because I'm like, all right, that's funny. You guys obviously know each other. LaFleur's like, I don't know that guy. I have no relationship with that guy. That's crazy that he would call me out in his press conference by name. But like, he wanted that. He chooses to coach against the Lions, the team he just spent six seasons with and slicing up, you know, the rest of the NFC North. He's like, no, I'll go up against them. And then the last team, he goes up against a Vikings team where Brian Flores was hired as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins and had this staff. And one of the holdovers was Ben Johnson. And Brian Flores is like, I don't need this guy. We're good. Like, we'll move on. And Ben Johnson's like, all right, I guess I'll find another job, and wasn't retained by Brian Flores. Flores is now defensive coordinator of the Vikings. Ben Johnson brings to Chicago all of this with like this giant chip on his shoulder. And
so he's got a chip on his shoulder against two of the teams and then knows the third team exceptionally well,
and could have chosen to take in the soft AFC team in Jacksonville or wherever else and said, okay, I'll just get paid a bunch of money somewhere else and not take on this challenge. The last piece, he wanted to work with Caleb Williams, and not everyone necessarily after that first season would want that. If you're the offensive genius and you're the boy wonder, you might say, give me a more established quarterback that I can work with, or let me pick my own quarterback that I can work with, like Cliff did with Kyler or whatever else in the history of offensive coaches taking new jobs. He give me Caleb, because I'll coach him hard. And Caleb's big thing is like, he's never been great with timing. Like, it's always been off script, and Caleb like likes to work and be freestyle. And like, that is not what Ben Johnson's offense is. Ben Johnson's offense is, hey, Jared Goff, here's the play. Here's the first look. Here's the second look. Play action, go. You're not doing it at a shotgun. And Caleb's got to rewire his whole brain. And from what I hear out of Chicago, it's working. Again.
Well, wasn't they doing the thing where he threw a lot at him and then he started scaling it back?
Yes.
And they actually
the kitchen
felt-
sink.
So that's legit, because I know, you know, you read this training camp stuff, you never know what.
Well, everyone's going to be amazing at a training camp. That's what we hear. So you got to read it with a filter. In this case, like, all right. So Mike Martz, someone brought up Mike Martz recently. It was like, Mike Martz, offensive mastermind, kind of like a sit in the lab and not exactly a social butterfly and maybe not the best communicator.
Yeah.
Mike Martz becomes head coach of the Rams. They go to one Super Bowl and then it, you know, never happens again for him. And he's just an offensive coordinator. It's just what he was. This guy, a lot of people immediately thought was some bookish nerd, just sits there and draws up plays. He's not a nerd. He's not a geek. He's not a guy who sits in the lab all day long and can't talk. Like, he's a guy and he's a dude. And he, from what I hear in Chicago, has established that pretty quickly. Like, they're not going to play just air raid football and this guy's going to draw up fancy plays where the offensive lineman goes in motion. No, they're going to run the ball down your throat. And he's also going to do that stuff. And then he's going to talk some smack on the way also. I said on ESPN a couple of weeks ago that he's the most interesting person in the NFL this season, because if he can revitalize not just the Bears to a winning team. We've seen them win and go to the playoffs the last couple of years, but if he can make the Bears like a fun and sexy offensive team where we're like, oh shit, I've got to watch the Bears on Red Zone, or, oh, I'm going to, you and Sal always talk about the four screens and what you're choosing. Like, they're going to be one of my teams
every
week.
They just have to be there. Yeah.
That is a totally new chapter for them. And I think with Ben Johnson, they can do that.
Are the two weapons that they drafted both going to have huge impacts?
Yes.
Loveland's already getting drafted. Like, he's a top 10 tight end.
Yeah. And they took him before Tyler Warren, and they had options to take
a lot.
I
don't know about that one.
I know. And they
could have
taken, wide receivers. Like, off topic a little bit, like, I've heard Ibuka out there in Tampa Bay is already like the captain of the team, and Baker's absolutely in love with him. And he's going to be right out of the gates, like a guy that they're going to feature in the offense. I haven't heard that with Loveland yet, but that's because they have DJ Moore and they have Burden and they have the two running backs. And I don't know in that offense if it's going to be tight end focused, but if you look at the way Ben Johnson used Laporta, I would think that they're going to feature him heavily.
So if you had to say three NFC North teams make the playoffs and one does not, who is your does not?
The Chicago Bears.
Still, you have them fourth.
Yeah, I do.
What's the Minnesota case?
The Minnesota case is that they might have the best roster in football besides that quarterback, and that quarterback might be awesome. We just don't know. The balls on Kwesi, the GM, and Kevin O'Connell to move on from Darnold when you could have easily franchise tagged him or paid him what he's making in Seattle, to move on and say we're better off with a guy that we've seen throw three preseason passes is a crazy decision. But they are so convicted in this that I have to believe that they believe they can win with this guy right out of the gate. So JJ McCarthy, what is giant X factor.
$40 million for Darnold. Instead, they just basically use the QB money for JJ, which rookie scale. Take the $40 million for Darnold.
Spread it out.
Give a couple to a backup, and then you get like four starters out of it, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, more or less. And then I thought, all right, let's see JJ McCarthy, and maybe they sign Aaron Rodgers to a minimum deal, and Rodgers probably would have been open to that. And they're like, no, we're good. We're going with JJ McCarthy.
It's a pretty big spot for that dude, though. It reminds me of the Arch Manning, all the hype he got all summer. And then it's like, all right, now noon, Saturday at Ohio State, go knock yourself out. Like it's a pretty big spot. McCarthy's gonna have a couple of those.
Monday Night Football in Chicago. That's about the same kind of platform as Arch is having, where you're going to have a pregame show all day long and everyone's looking at it. And you got Ben Johnson on the other sideline. I guess I trust KOC and Flores in a way that I just don't know from the Bears what we're going to get yet. So I would say any other division, I could argue that the Bears could compete, you know, at least like this division's a gauntlet.
You're not obeying the 3-3 out rule, which might even be the 2-2 out rule.
But I know.
Somebody's got to. We're not just running it back with three NFC North playoff teams again, the same three.
I feel like
one of them has to flip.
I think the Lions do take a step back. I think it's because of Ben Johnson. I think he's incredible, and his ingenuity and the way he used Jahmyr Gibbs and the way they got Penei Sewell in motion and the way that they got open all these guys and used all. I think they're really going to miss that, and I don't know if John Morton, who's a longtime NFL coach. This isn't like they, elevated some 28-year-old that they feel good on. Like John Morton's been around for 30 years. I don't know if he's got the ingenuity and the spunk and all that that Ben Johnson had. And I hate saying this about Jared Goff, because here's Jared Goff, who took a Rams team to the Super Bowl, took the Lions to an NFC Championship game and to a one seed last year. And we're still, after all these Pro Bowls and his name being chanted in the draft, I still kind of like, without McVay or Ben Johnson in his ear, like I still kind of don't know what that looks like with John Morton as the OC. So I might put an asterisk on the Lions. I might just go two teams and say it's Vikings Packers out of the NFC North this year.
Well, and weaker offensive line too. I said this to Sal. I don't know who the year from hell team is yet, but we're going to have one. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing FanDuel odds on that, they're probably the odds on favorite. But I think the fact that the Chargers have already lost, one of the three best guys in their team, they're a candidate, and maybe somebody else. Like last year was pretty easy to look at the Niners and be like,
Yeah, the IU thing was just gross all summer, and we didn't know what was up with Trent Williams. Like, so that's an interesting team. I heard you guys talking about it when you and Sal were doing all the NFC over and under. Like, what's your 30 seconds on the Niners?
Ambivalence? Like, just
winning
six games last year and then losing a shitload of veterans, and then people are going, no, they're going to be good again because they have Kyle Shanahan and Ayuk's coming back in October. And McCaffrey might play. So I just don't really see the case. It feels to me like there's more arrow pointing down potential than arrow pointing up. I don't really know, but I just know that I like Seattle more. And I think that's one of my big week one plays is I just think Seattle is going to be good. And I'm in the minority. I know it's a nobody believes in us thing, but I just trust. I think they're think they're just like steadier than this Niners thing, which is like all over the map. I don't know what I'm getting. Are they going to be able to block? Are they going to have a pass rush? Is when are their receivers going to all be healthy? Am I getting 12 games out of McCaffrey?
Yeah.
And it's like the schedule is the only case. It's like their schedule is easy. Soft. Okay, cool.
Great. They cut Kyle Juszczyk and it was like, ooh, looks like they're changing the look of this team. Kittle's contract was still not finished. I'm like, are they going to move on from Kittle? Like, and then they were like, no, actually we're going to re-sign Kyle Juszczyk. Then we're going to extend Kittle to a monster deal, like legit money for Kittle at this stage in his career. And then, we're also going to give money to Purdy and Fred Warner. And we still got Ayuk and we're going to bring back Saleh. It was almost like, hey, fuckers. Like we were in the Super Bowl less than, 18 months ago. Like chill out. Like don't give up on us yet. So the conviction of John Lynch to not just say, all right, let's do a little changing of the guard here. Let's get younger. But to bring back all those guys tells me that they think they can still compete. And oddly enough, I'm not a big gambling guy. I see the odds. They're still the favorites in the NFC West. And I guess that's because of the schedule. But to say that they're the favorites over the Rams is crazy to me.
Right. Okay. That was going to be the next thing I asked you about. Matthew Stafford, God only knows.
Yeah. I don't either.
The left tackle seems like he's okay. He's scheduled to maybe play. So you have uncertainty with the quarterback and the left tackle, like real uncertainty. And yet I still picked them to make the playoffs because it's just like, you were the one who was kind of talking me into the Garoppolo piece of it that you felt like that is about as good of an insurance policy as anyone has. So make the case.
Yeah, for the Bill Simmons Reddit folks who don't think you and I talk all the time, we still talk on text all the time. And we were talking about the Rams. And I said, this guy, Garoppolo, can still win 10 games if they need him to. And when they played with the Cowboys in these intercamp practices, to a man, both sides said he lit up the Cowboys defense, was going up and down the field. And he and Devontae, which everyone assumes because of what was said on the wide receiver documentary, hate each other. They're great. They're also adults and have made a ton of money and are like, let's just go win football games and try to get a Super Bowl. So with Stafford out, Garoppolo was under center and McVay was like telling me Jimmy G looks awesome. So at the very least, they have a capable backup that they know they can win games with if Stafford is unavailable. And I hate saying this because Cooper Kupp has been a great player and as a triple crown winner and all this thing. They view Devontae Adams as a big upgrade from what they had with Cooper Kupp last year. So now you have Devontae Adams, Puka Nacua, Tutu Atwell, Kyren Williams. And at quarterback, you hope Matthew Stafford at 37 can stay healthy. And if he isn't and has to miss a few games, you're not going to Brett Ripien like they did a couple years ago. You're going to Jimmy Garoppolo, who is a serviceable quarterback in this league.
Okay. It's really hard to bet against McVay winning 9 or 10 games.
And dude, versus
with an easy schedule, by the way. With an easy schedule.
Yes, and that defense was awesome down the stretch last year. They were one pressure away from playing in an NFC championship game against the Commanders, and they got to Stafford, and that was that. But like, they were in that game with the Eagles. They were the only team that competed with the Eagles in the playoffs last year. They had them on the ropes in the snow, and they came up short.
And then you have the 2025 hipster champs, the Arizona Cardinals.
Everybody's team, jeez.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
I'll freely admit I don't understand it. I don't think from a talent standpoint they have as much talent as the other teams in the division. I was there last season. I thought they had a chance a couple times to maybe make a run and then would just have a terrible loss. I'm not a Kyler guy, as I've mentioned many times, and I have them fourth in that division. I don't really get it.
So do I. And maybe we're wrong. And maybe this shows up on Old Takes Exposed or someone digs this clip up and is like, see, told you guys. But like,
I'm not worried about that one.
I don't see it. And I think it's a competitive NFC. The way it is for me, it's like the best coaches are in the NFC and the best quarterbacks are in the AFC. So if you're going to win that NFC West, you're going to have to outcoach McVay. You're going to have to outcoach Shanahan. And then you're going to have to also outcoach Saleh and Chris Shula, who are the defensive coordinators. And oh, by the way, Mike McDonald did a pretty good job in his first year and they love Kubiak as a new offensive coordinator. Like, that's really good coaching staffs. So Jonathan Gannon, like year three, you should be competing. You should be doing it. And if we're wrong, we're wrong. But I don't know if they have the talent and I don't know if they've got all that goes into actually competing for a playoff spot in a loaded NFC.
I don't see the case. Who is your nobody believes in us contender this year? I know you're doing some prediction stuff on ESPN.
Yeah.
Last year it was the Washington.
Yep.
Former Redskins, now Commanders. And I remember us talking about it and I couldn't get there to them as a playoff team, but they checked a lot of boxes for the bump. Nobody had them in the playoffs. Nobody in the planet had them go to the NFC title game. So who is the team this year? Who does nobody believe in?
Okay. So last year there were two teams that I had that I was very high on, and it was the Broncos and the Commanders. And I kind of puffed my chest out all season about that. This year I have a team that literally nobody on earth, including their fans, seem to be in on. And I kind of like them to shock everyone and compete in their division. The Miami Dolphins are very intriguing to me.
This is a good one. You're right. Nobody believes in the Dolphins. I mean, that's like, this is everybody's, this team's going to suck team.
Mike McDaniel has been hearing it all offseason that he's on the hot seat and that this thing is kaput. Tua Tagovailoa has heard it all offseason that he sucks and he can't get over the hump and he can't win in cold weather. Tyreek, Waddle, guess what? I know guys with the Dolphins, they love Tua, and Tua's really good with them. That is as good a 1-2 in the league outside of Cincinnati that you're going to find. And McDaniel can still put up 40, 50 points with his offense. Achane, great running back. And their defense did not have their two best players last year in Phillips and Chubb. They get them back, and you get Chop Robinson in year two. I know they lost a lot. I get it. And maybe Jalen Ramsey's the greatest cornerback of his generation. Maybe he's not. But Jalen Ramsey is out. And with Jalen Ramsey being out, is you have a bunch of young guys who are going to step up. And the locker room is maybe a little different than it was last year with a lot of veteran guys.
Oh,
I like Mike McDaniel with a chip on his shoulder. I like Mike McDaniel knowing that he's got his guys on the field. And I like the fact that absolutely nobody, including the most diehard Dolphins fans, are riding with this team. I'll take them. I'll take the Dolphins. Are they going to win the AFC East? Probably not. Can they compete for a wild card? You better believe it.
Over under is still 7.5.
Take the over, folks.
So, legitimately bad defensive backs.
We don't know that.
I'm going to say they're bad.
We don't know that.
They've been still scrambling to try to sign guys to potentially throw out there. They don't have a single shutdown anybody on there. I mean, Fitzpatrick's there.
Minka's back there.
And the offensive line.
Young.
Yeah. It shades of the Pats last year. Like, it might be bad, bad.
Look,
so those two things worry me. Then you have Tyreek.
I have
no idea where Tyreek's head is at. They removed his captaincy, which I thought was interesting. Waddle's already banged up. The running back situation, it's gotten to the point that Ollie Gordon has gotten buzz in some of the deeper leagues because he might actually be playing a lot. Yeah. So I don't know. To me, it's like, are they going to be better? Are they more talented than the Patriots?
Yeah, I think they do have more talent on the roster than the Patriots still. The coaching.
I like your case. Your case is pristine.
Look,
you're the only one who believes in them that I've heard.
And that's where I like to hitch my wagon. Give me that team. And I'll tell you, this team will embody Mike McDaniel. And you might say, well, what the hell does that mean? It means high-powered offense, fast. Let's get the ball out. Let's go. And like the noise of like, you know, all the shit that's been going on this offseason, they had 100% participation this offseason. And that's the first time I could say that's happened in Dolphins like recent history. And as much as we all say like last year was terrible, like they went 6-2 after starting 2-6. Like they finished the season strong last year. So I don't know. I look at this team 2 years ago, they were a playoff team. Injuries hit them. They went into Kansas City in the coldest game ever. It was played on Peacock and everyone just remembers Andy Reid's frozen mustache. That wasn't a good draw. The year before that, they were awesome all season. They get hit with the injury bug and they have to go to Buffalo and it's Skylar Thompson at quarterback. I know they had a bad year. It's like the Niners. They had a bad year last year. Can they bounce back? Absolutely. All those guys are still there for the most part. I still think that they've got an offense that put up 70 points on the Broncos 2 years ago.
I mean, the better case is they're playing beyond what you just said. Where are they? So they have at Indy week one.
Win.
home Pats week two with the Gonzalez hamstring thing, which is now dominating my life as I just wait for updates.
Patriots in September at
Patriots
the Dolphins
in September
win.
At Miami. Not a great history. At Bills Thursday night. That just crossed out.
Probably a loss. Probably a loss.
Jets Monday night at Panthers week five. Hey, home Chargers at Browns. So you're saying 5-2.
We could be 6-1 at that point. We. I don't give a shit, but we.
No, it's a well, we, because you're the only. This
I'm
is your.
It. This is it.
This is really good. I completely disagree with you, but I'm also really jealous. Fun?
And this is it. Like,
it's so funny because we've known each other so long. I thought for sure you were going to. No, I thought for sure you were going to Tennessee. They check a lot of Schrager boxes.
Yes, they
and
do.
I was ready for a whole Cam Ward and this defense and the culture. And I just thought you might be in on them, but you zagged on me.
I'm not in on them yet. I like the Dolphins as a pick, a good team that has a coach that has something to prove, that has his guys on the field, and that I think has been really, really dismissed this offseason. And all the stuff about, like, they don't get along and Tyreek was questioning, you know, the running backs room. Like, don't, if you're not there and you're seeing stuff in press conferences, it's hard. And I think I might be the only person, including JJ Jastrzemski and all the different Dolphins fans out there, actually feels that this team on paper still is as good as anybody on offense. And that coach put the league in a blender the last couple of years when he's got his weapons.
7-1 win the AFC East. McDaniel is 2-1 to be on Get Up With You in mid-November.
I know.
Let's take one more break. I have a couple more things to throw at you. You did this already on ESPN, but, you know, I feel like you have to do it here. You got to just do your whole Giants thing. I had to do an imitation of you doing the Giants thing.
I heard it.
Just do the 2 minutes, because every Giants fan I know is over the moon with the potential. You know, they're not going to win the Super Bowl this year, but, like, just having an identity again, knowing that they're not going to have a shitty quarterback, knowing that they're going to have a pass rush that's like the mid-2000s pass rush, knowing that they're, you know, Michael Parsons now out of the division, they have a real chance to be the second best team if Washington goes backwards. But there's just a lot of buzz, neighbors, you know. So give me the spiel.
The spiel is this. I went to a couple practices, and then I saw him with the joint practice with the Jets, and Abdul Carter was absolutely unblockable. And then you add that to Dexter Lawrence, who is arguably the best defensive tackle in football, who next to him is Brian Burns. And then on the other side also is Kayvon Thibodeau. You have a front four that is as good as anyone in the league. And that includes the guys in Philly right now.
I know. I think it's them in Philly, right? And I would say if Carter is as good as we think he's going to be, they might even have the edge.
Yeah. And Abdul Carter has been, to a man, unblockable. And it's funny, like, you get that one clip against the Jets or whoever it was in the preseason game where he gets chipped and people are like, see, he sucks. I'm like, no, you guys don't get it. Like,
yeah,
he's that good. They love their defense. They think their defense is as good as anybody. I look at the defense. The Jets could not move the ball in practice, and the Jets had just got done running the ball down the Packers' throat in a preseason game, and the Jets could not do anything against this Giants defense. The question is, what do we get on offense? Well, the days I was there, neighbors didn't practice. The days I was there, Slayton or Hyatt wasn't out there. So I can't tell you what the offense looks like. I do know that every time they put Jackson Dart in, the kid comes in with a ton of swag. Yeah. He walks in there like he owns the joint. The other quarterbacks, Jameis and Russ, don't seem threatened by him. In fact, they love him. They're like, let's promote this guy. Like, we're going to do the best thing we can. There just seems to be positive vibes. And, like, Daniel Jones, he was tough. He was reliable. He came to practice. Like, he never really embraced the whole, like, let me be a badass. Let me be a New York City leader. Yeah. Now, nor did Eli in a lot of ways, but then Eli just did it on the field, and that's where he gained everyone's, like, love. This kid, Dart, comes in, you know, dressed in his Kith shirt and his necklace that's from his sister, and he's got these sunglasses on. He's just got something to him where, from the very get-go, it's like, oh, this guy's coming in here with something, a little swag to him that maybe we haven't had at the quarterback spot in some time, and that there's at least a future. And I know that Dable and Shane, they've casted their lot with him, and they absolutely love the guy. And Brian Dable doesn't need to talk up any quarterback. He's had Josh Allen. He's had all these guys. He's been with Brady. Like, he loves his Jackson Dart. So at the very least. Last year, you look at this team, they've got a great front seven, and then Newbin and Phillips, and some of these other guys, they bring in a player that they really are high on in Javon Holland at safety. Like, the defense is going to be great. So you're going to be in games. It's, can this offense score enough? And if Neighbors is even close to what he was last year with some inferior quarterback play, well, then shit, they could put up some points too.
What about Giants cult hero Cam Scatabo?
I don't know if, and like, it's funny because I see him going in fantasy leagues like really early. Like, they really like Tyrone Tracy and they really like Motor Singletary. So I don't know where Cam Scatabo fits in now. Okay. It's funny.
People just want it to happen.
I know. And it's, we went, I saw you at a party over Super Bowl week, a Saturday afternoon party, and we're there, and like, there's a lot of A-list NFL players and entertainers, and you and I were hanging, and there was only one player I wanted a selfie with, and it was Cam Scatabo when he walked by. Like, he's got that to him. Like, he is very, very appealing as like a fan favorite. I just don't know what role he has in the offense just yet.
So Pittsburgh has the 21st pick in the draft in 2025, April. Mm. They took defensive tackle Derek Herman. Mm-hmm. Darko's four picks later, the Giants trade up. That might have been a massive mistake because it really seems like Dart might be good.
Yeah.
And Pittsburgh hasn't had a quarterback since Ben Roethlisberger. And he was sitting there and they must have checked him out. And everybody thought they might take Shador there because this was during the part of the draft before we realized Shador was going to drop multiple rounds. But man, I wonder if I'm a Steelers fan, I'm dreading this Dart thing. When do you think we see him? Yeah, because Sal and I did this on the schedule. Like, it's, we were thinking like week four, week five range, or do you think they're going to let Russ steer the car for a while and kind of wait until December or something?
I don't know if it's December, but they're not going to yank Russ. Like, I remember, just to give it a comparison, Bill O'Brien talking to him and he's like, look, Deshaun Watson will get in eventually, but Tom Savage is our guy. And then literally halftime of the first game, Deshaun Watson replaced Tom Savage. Like, this isn't that. This is, Russ is going to get a couple games. He might get a couple months. I would think the bye week is always a weaky circle. You know how brutal the start of the season is. I think they have one game where they're going to be favored in that first 9 weeks. It might be against the Saints. I would think at the bye week is when we start thinking Jackson Dart, unless Russ is winning and they're going to keep him in.
Give me 90 seconds on the Pats.
Great. Right? Like, the arrows, you know, pointed up. And as we see Belichick on Monday night, and it's like, geez. And now you've got Vrabel where it's like, okay, we have a piece of the good of Belichick, but it's like fresh and young. And Vrabel is so good at time management and so good at having his guys be disciplined and ready to play every week. It's the exact opposite of last year's team. There's an immediate upgrade with just Vrabel and McDaniels, and I'll throw Stretch in there, who is Vrabel's like game and clock management guy, who is like the next Ernie Adams up there. And McVay loved him in LA and he left LA to come be with Vrabel, who he had in Tennessee. A very, very niche name.
By the way, Stretch, not shy about doing media.
Right? He's been out, right?
That was like a Boston Herald, like 4,000 word feature that I devoured by Andrew Callahan.
And then exciting?
And he popped on somebody's podcast. I'm like, look at Stretch. I know. Not an enigma like Ernie Adams.
I know. Ernie Adams was down there in the basement and was like fed like scraps of food. And meanwhile, Stretch is out there at the podium. But like, that's a real thing. That's an elite clock management guy that has been long valued in the league. And then Vrabel, of course, I think is the best in the sport as far as knowing the rules and knowing all that stuff. And again, you're going to fall asleep listening to that. If you're like, oh, we've got a guy who knows all the rules in the playbook. Hey, a lot of these NFL head coaches do not know all the rules in the playbook and do not know how to do time management. And you bang your head against the wall saying it, you're never going to see a unprepared Mike Vrabel team. You're never going to see Mike Vrabel, you know, botch a timeout or not know that, hey, wait, actually, this is a 10-yard loss and a stoppage of play, whatever it is. So I don't have them in the playoffs this year. I don't. I think that they're better this year. I think Drake May is in much better hands with Josh McDaniels than he was in the previous.
You probably gave them Cincinnati. You gave Cincinnati their spot.
I love Cincinnati this year. Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
And Miami. And I got Miami in there too.
Okay. So I had the Pats Vegas spots you gave to Cincinnati and Miami.
Yes.
I have the Pats in Vegas. In
and spots. Do we both have Denver and KC?
I don't feel good about... Yeah, of course we do. I didn't feel good about 6-7 in the AFC. I changed my mind a million times.
Me too. And
but I think the Pats, the Gonzalez thing, if they don't win this week one game, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I know, not to sound like it's a must-win game, but this is like, if you're going to get to 10 wins, this has to be one of the 10. And I just find it hard to believe they're going to go 10-6. Like, they kind of... You have to beat Vegas at home if you're going to make the playoffs, right? Washington would have beaten Vegas at home last year in week one.
Yeah.
So if it's going to happen, we'll kind of know right away, I feel like.
Well, I feel like I got egg on my face last year when, you know, Gerard Mayo's team goes into Cincinnati and beats them in a really hard-fought week one game. And I'm like, Gerard Mayo had them running drills. They're in better shape than they were under Belichick. And then that all went off the rails, of course. I do feel, without any second of hesitation, like, Vrabel, McDaniels, and the rest of that coaching staff. And that goes, I mean, it includes even like on the offensive side, you know, you've got all these different guys who have been with Vrabel before. And I think that they play a big role also. Like, this is a very experienced coaching staff.
It's funny to read the quotes, and we have really good beat reporters for the Pats.
You do.
It's funny to how many players have not come out blatantly and said, wow, this coaching staff is so much better than last year, but it's just been a lot of between the lines stuff that's been pretty fun. Like, it's like, wow, it's nice to have some stability this year. Just like all these little...
And remember, Mayo was saying crazy stuff in the press conferences too. And you're like, what? Like, we're... And like doing appearances and saying things on the radio show that, again, not his fault. First year head coach.
I know, but it's just unnecessary distractions.
Yes. Vrabel comes in and he's busting chops with the reporters. I think he went at Mike Girardi. I think he went at Tom Curran. Like, he's not going to back down. He also knows these guys and he knows Karen, knows all of them.
Ben Volen hard.
Oh, he did. He did. And it's like, part of you is like, oh, I hate the way he's talking to the media. Part of you is like, he's comfortable with these guys. He's not going to be bullied around by them. And he also respects the fact that they're the best in the game when it comes to a media market.
He's aggro. He's getting into scraps when the breaking up scraps of practice. He's yelling at media people. It's great. It's good to have an identity again.
What was your reaction to Belichick on, because I guess this is probably the first time you'll talk about it on Monday night. Because
I was really bummed. I thought he was going to be awesome as this last act college thing, and it was so bad I almost don't even know how to process it.
But it was so bad.
It was interesting how many people were delighted that it was bad, and some of that he brings on himself. Like, he was a dick the last 12 years when he coached. The Jordan Hudson thing's weird. Like, I get it, but this guy's still the greatest NFL coach of all time, and it's kind of it was the first time I was thinking to myself, oh man, I hope they don't go like 3-8. And this is just like sad.
I know.
I don't want that to be the outcome.
What's the word? Schadenfreude? Like, I know I'm pronouncing it wrong. And I know you pronounce wrong words. So, so we all do it. But like, it was so real. And my phone was lighting up. And, you know, it's not just for Bill. It's for Lombardi, our boy also. Like, people wanted to see these guys because they thought, you know, just let us get there and we'll be all right. And I think people want to see failure because of jealousy, but also because of the way that they came in. And a lot of those players that were at North Carolina, like, we're good. They can walk. We'll bring in our own, like, we'll be okay. And obviously it didn't go well the first day. Now they play a Charlotte team next week that, from what I've heard, you know, App State is not a powerhouse this year. It's not a great App State team. And App State, you know, waxed Charlotte last week. If they struggle against Charlotte in week two, then we've got a real problem and this thing can get real ugly.
It did feel like a moment for about 40 minutes.
Oh, it was cool.
They had MJ and LT in the suite. And they scored on the first drive. I was like, I'm in.
I'm like, who's this quarterback? Lefty. And I'm like, first 15 plays. It's amazing. And then she ends up on the sidelines at the end and you're like, what the hell is going on?
So give us, before you go, give us the first, like, how many months at ESPN now?
I got there in March.
Popping on all the different shows, being like Swiss Army knife. What's been the biggest surprise the first 3 months of being in that whole world?
It's been cool because I thought it was going to be like, all right, you're signed on as NFL analyst. Here is your role. And what I've realized very quickly is I have more freedom and more flexibility at ESPN than I ever did at NFL Network, because they're like, you know, Molly Karam's out. Why don't you host First Take this week in July? Or Mike Greenberg's out. Yeah. Why don't you host Get Up? And then McAfee was out and they let me fly to Indianapolis and do that. And then like when the Knicks were doing their thing and I'm a Knicks fan, they're like, why don't you get on SportsCenter and talk Knicks? So all that stuff I never really thought about. And then the bigger surprise is like, you know, I was doing a 3-hour show 5 days a week. And I thought everyone was watching Good Morning Football. And I thought, okay, if I make a point on Good Morning Football, everyone in the media world is going to know what I said because I'm Peter Schrager and I'm so important and the world revolves around me. What I very quickly learned was when you get to ESPN, like that's what's in the airports. That's what's in the barbershops. That's what's on in the bowling alley. And that's what's on in every hotel lobby. Like the NFL Network stuff was big fish, smaller pond. This is, I'm a smaller fish in like a massive pond, but everyone's listening to what I say. And it feels like when I make a point on ESPN, like people hear it that I'm like, oh shit, I got a text from XYZ because I said that at 9 a.m. on ESPN with First Take. And it's like, all right, yeah. So I think just the actual fire hose of the platform has been a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, the face being on in the airports and all these different places, that's when you start. The thing I noticed when I was in that whole world was like when you start getting recognized by the TSA guys,
no doubt,
and the fist cab bump. Drivers.
That's it.
And I was like, I was a writer. I'd been so anonymous for so many years, and then once all of a sudden I'm on these shows, and you kind of forget. You're just like, oh, that guy's was. And then people are like, yo, man, what's going on with the Lakers? What's it? You know, and you're just like, I'm just having coffee right now. It's 8 o'clock in the morning.
No doubt.
And you're just kind of on call like a doctor for sports conversations.
Totally. And I live in Brooklyn you don't know if people are into sports or if they're into like the new Strokes album. Like you don't know if they're into it. So I'm doing NFL Network for years living in Brooklyn. And like, maybe I get a head nod once in a while from a sports fan. And I'm like, all right, it's just Brooklyn. The people would much rather talk about craft beer and, you know, some indie band. No, since I've been at ESPN, everyone's like, oh shit. Like I saw you on SportsCenter. I saw you on this or that. The one thing that's different is like at Good Morning Football, I came into work with Kyle. And it was like, it was our show. And it was like, well, what do we want to talk about? Let's do it. I've got to navigate that a little bit. And the season's going to be interesting where tomorrow, for example, I'm on Get Up, First Take, and then I'm doing SportsCenter from the US Open. I'm going to be asked questions by Greenberg and by Molly. And I'm going to be talking with Stephen A, but like, it's not me coming in and saying, hey, should we talk about Travis Hunter? Right. Like it's, I don't have that anymore. So we've got to figure that out and navigate it where my voice is, you know, my thoughts aren't just being call and answer. It's more like, hey, what can I provide and offer up proactively?
Yeah, I miss you and Kyle. I'm going to really feel it during the season just because it was a habit.
I love that dude. And like listening to him and you, I get jealous and FOMO and I'm like, they're good together. Like I miss Kyle. Absolutely.
But I've been monitoring your ESPN stuff. You've stayed true to yourself. You're still you.
Trying.
But I'm monitoring. And if I feel like you start veering and directions I don't like, I'm going to be texting.
It's
going to
be a test. Like I'm on Mondays on First Take with Stephen A. Smith and Cam Newton and me. And it's like, all right, dude, like you want to still make your like pithy joke about some reference to the 90s. Like, it might not land like it did with Kyle Brandt giggling, you know, like,
your Adam Duritz joke might not work with that crew.
It's a long December. Wink. Like, no, it might not work. It might, the third eye blind reference might go over some heads, even though Cam's hat is very high. We'll see. I've been thrilled with it though. It's been cool.
You'll be fine. It has been fun seeing you just pop on all these different places. Right. I don't even watch as much ESPN as other people, but I feel like when I would tune in this summer, you were somewhere involved somewhere on some show.
Can I say one thing? I've got a new passion and you see me posting about it on Instagram. I play this. I know you're a racket sports lover and you love tennis.
Are you going to do paddle?
Yes, dude. Paddle. This is so up your alley. I hear you doing these Michelob commercials and you're like crapping all over pickleball and I'm nodding along, but then you're like, tennis is my sport. I play tennis. You have to get into paddle. You would love this sport, Bill. And if your listeners don't know, it's 2-on-2, it's doubles, but it's got the glass wall. I know how much you love tennis. This is easier on the body and it's the most social thing in the world. Paddle's coming and I want you in on the ride, dude.
Paddle's coming? Where's it coming from?
It's coming from South America. It's coming from Miami.
It's coming for, dude. Like prime time?
I don't know if it's ever going to be on prime time, but it's a great sport. And I agree with you on pickleball. I couldn't get into pickleball. But as a tennis player and a tennis lover, like this sport is so fun. And I want to give you like a racket and I want to get you on the court. And I just want to play with you because I think you would love this sport.
I would be an immediate natural because it's a racket. I'm good at racket sports.
I This is my goal over the next year.
Did you go to the U.S. Open?
I'm going tomorrow. We're recording this on Tuesday. I'm going tomorrow and I'm excited. I love it. Are you, any chance you'll be in town? No, right?
No. I don't go, but I did. I'll give you one take that I had that I've been thinking about.
Is it about the honey juice or the chicken nugget with caviar?
No, it's, okay. I've been cultivating this take factory.
Let me hear.
You know, Serena, who's been back in the mix a little, and she lost weight. She's in great shape and she's
on row.
Yeah. She's pitching this row thing and she's the best she's felt. I think she should come back.
Let's go. I see Venus every night on these doubles with Fernandez. I love those two.
I feel like if she started planning it right now and aim for like French Open, Wimbledon, US Open, like, all right, 7 months, her kids are a little bit older.
How old is she?
She's early 40s, but right, I was trying to think like, what would be a bigger non-NFL storyline than Serena coming back in shape, like almost like MJ coming back to the Wizards, but like more favorable and trying to like take her throne back. I think
what's
it would
a boxing
be
boxing reference. I feel like it's a boxing reference more than anything.
I just
anything.
Feel like everybody would be interested in this. 100%. I don't know. There's not a single person in my life who wouldn't be interested in a Serena comeback. And I just think she should consider it.
I know you and your wife love the tennis and me and my wife as well. We watch it and like Sabalenka is unbelievable. And Iga is unbelievable. And you've got these two women right now playing at such a high level. You think Serena can still roll with those two?
I don't know. That's what would be so fascinating because it would be a whole thing like, she can't do this. There's no way. And then there would be this other side. I'd be like, she's Serena Williams. She's the GOAT. She's the best female athlete we've ever had. If anyone could do it, it's her. And it would just be like incredible theater. I wonder if she's thought about it at all.
I'm sure she has. She looks amazing. She's, what's she do now? She owns all these things. She's like a crazy,
she's like a
successful
great
businesswoman.
Yeah. It just would be so interesting. I was trying to think of like, anyone who could come back, that would be a more interesting subplot than her. Because that nobody else is realistic, right? Tiger's like, he's in his 50s now. He's had all these surgeries. Like, yeah. He can't come back. There's no, you know, LeBron's still playing. But if when LeBron retires, then it'd be like, oh, could LeBron come back? We'd have that whole thing for 2 years. But
for 2 years, we've done the Brady.
Brady would be the other one. But Brady's too old now. Yeah.
At this point, it would have happened last year. It would have happened with the Niners a couple of years ago. Like, he had his opportunities. He didn't. Serena coming back would be awesome. Now, on my hot take on the tennis is like, we always had Nadal and Federer as the top guys. And then Djokovic obviously joined them. But there was always this like Stan Wawrinka, David Ferrer. Like there was always these other guys. Right now it's just Sinner and Alcaraz. And the gap is so big between those two and everyone else. Like, I don't know if this US Open has been as exciting because they win 6-1, 6-1, 6-1. And then it's like, all right, they'll play in the finals, but we have 2 weeks of tennis. And I gotta be honest, I'm going tomorrow. I'm seeing the Canadian guy play the Australian guy. I don't even know their names. And I follow this thing on a daily basis. Yeah. So it's really just a two-man sport right now. And I don't think that's great either.
Well, the Ben Shelton getting hurt was a murder.
That was killer.
Because that was, I think they were counting on him to really potentially be heard from, especially because the crowd would have gotten completely
Tiafoe
behind him.
Tiafoe loses in straight sets. Like,
it wasn't great. And then Coco is like,
Coco
just got
Osaka.
Waxed by Osaka.
Worked her.
But yeah, it's I don't know. The Serena thing would be pretty fun.
That'd be great.
I like the US Open.
Hey, should we do a tennis pod together?
No, I don't think anyone would listen to it. The one at the Ringer who loves tennis is DeBundo.
Okay.
DeBundo's like, I texted him today on Tuesday about like, what's a tennis bet that you would go for? He's like, I like both underdogs and the women's side. Like, he's like really into it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know how hot the tennis pod would be.
Maybe
paddle. Maybe that's the pod. When paddle becomes a major thing.
You would love this. And like the games you get in with these like random guys that are, you know, I work in oil. It's a crazy scene, this paddle scene. And it's big in New York right now. And I think it's coming to LA.
So are you like, you're officially like a McAfee guy and I'm like the old girlfriend, or like, how does this work? Just walk me through it.
I don't know. I'd like to be able to swing a little bit and have you both. And
an open relationship.
I want to be able to just be open and like,
that's great.
Just and fun. You know?
And we'll try to get along for you and it'll be good. Yeah. We just want you to feel good.
If I could bridge just bounce you guys, around. Cause like you mentioned mullet number two, like that's Boston Connor. He's a good guy. He's a Patriots fan. Like, he would love mullet number two.
I like the Boston guy.
He's great.
Yeah. Give my best to the Boston guy.
He's great. They're all great.
I like that he sticks up for us.
What you would appreciate about them, and it's got a good ringer Grantland feel, like, it is like them against, they live in Indianapolis. It's five friends. They don't have a rundown. I go down there and it's like, let's just talk football. And I so appreciate it. It's like the part that you and McAfee have, like the shaded thing is like the complete distrust and disrespect for middle management and like that kind of stuff of like the khaki pants and the suit and the lanyard
that
and all that.
Speak to me.
Like Pat doesn't suffer fools and he will tell them. And they, you know, that's just what it is. He licenses his show. It's his deal. But like, I know you guys both speak a very similar tongue when it comes to, hey, we're the talent. We know what works and just trust us and don't try to interfere too much. That's the game he plays. And I kind of respect you both for that.
I always respected what he built. I just didn't like the Kimmel Aaron Rodgers thing, but I'm over
fair
it.
Fair enough.
It is. It was like, what, 2 years ago? It's fine.
It's done.
It's fine. Now you're there. Sometimes. And now we are, you know, what's that guy's name? Boston Connor?
Boston Connor. I would love for you to have him and Ty Schmidt on. Ty's great also. You
Ty
could
Schmidt
have
on. Look, these are your guys. You've
they're
moved
good.
On.
They're
it's
good,
fine.
Bro.
I'm like the old girlfriend.
You've got Diana and Pablo and the rest. Pablo Torre comes on talking about his quote-unquote origin story. I'm texting Bill. I'm like, can I come on and talk about the Seahawks? What are we doing here?
Mike, I have some Mike McDonald thoughts.
I want to talk. I've got some thoughts on Johnny Smith. Can we talk?
All right. Well, so you'll be popping on a few hopefully. Times during this season.
As many times as you'll have me. I would love
to have you. I'm excited for everything that's happening for you. It's great to see you as always.
Dude, you're the best. You've always been such a champion of mine and you know my love for you and the listeners that you guys have.
All right. Good to see you. Thanks, man.
Thanks, dude.
All right. That's it for the podcast. Thanks to Peter Schrager. Thanks to Gahau and Eduardo as well. I'm going to be back on Thursday doing Ringer 107 with House and a whole bunch of other stuff. So stay tuned for that as we get ready. We might even go after the Philly-Dallas game. But at some point Thursday, you'll have a podcast from me. So stay tuned for that. I will see you then. Must be 21 plus and present in select states for Kansas and affiliation with Kansas Star Casino or 18 plus and present in D.C., Kentucky, or Wyoming. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. Call 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut or visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland. Hope is here. Visit Gambling Helpline, ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.